Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is that any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Headbanging hippie, John Fox.
Hey, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Tuesday night or Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon, all depending on where you are on this beautiful blue marble, such that it still is. Welcome to the end of the live broadcasting day here on the Head On Radio Network. And we got a bunch of stuff. We got a bit of music to get through today. First, we gotta do some Rush. Tim's been on to me for ages to do some Rush. Tim from LA, and I have been remiss, so we'll correct that today. But during the technical chokies last night, Bob played some friends of mine, the Shuffle Kings, and there was quite a reaction in the chat room. I guess some folks who may have missed it previous times around. So I've sent Bob a couple more Shuffle King tracks to show you, and it prompted me to actually shoot Mr. Paul Robert Burton, the leader of the band, an email just to say, hey, haven't seen you in, like, since the last time I saw you at a protest down the city, and trying to find out, you know, exactly where the band is at this moment and what they're up to. I do see that they've got two DVDs that they've done since I last had any contact. So, you know, I guess things are going well. And the band looks like it's even expanded a bit. Bob, you might remember a guy that I played, a guy that goes under the moniker Frank Bennett. He does basically jazz swing versions of rock and roll songs. Well, he's actually joined on playing sax with the band. And so, yeah, it's like it's gone from four guys to, I think, six or seven now, all depending on what they're doing. But it's just a mad sound. But because and it figures the night that I actually remember to get some Rush lined up, Tim from L.A. is not in the chat room, but I'm going to assume that he's listening. So going through, and there's, I actually only have a couple of the Rush records. I'm going to have to remedy that at some point. But I went back, and just this is probably one of my favorite Rush teams of all time, probably because it's the first song I ever remember that exposed me to the concept of atheism. At least that's what this song has always struck me as being about, and of course it's free will. And, you know, I mean, when it comes to power, you know, progressive power trios, these guys were definitely the one of their day. No bout to doubt it. So, Tim, this one's for you, mate. Free Will from Rush. Roll it, Bob.
Our aim.
is that line? You can choose some phantom fears from some celestial voice. I will choose a path that's clear. I will choose free will. I've always just loved that lyric. And Bob poses a really good question. Why the hell is Rush not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet? I mean, are they too Canadian or something? it is a fine question, because really, of the era, there was no one like them. It seems like a painful oversight, and I do have to get a hold of the new record, because I've read now at least 3 rave reviews of the new Rush album. I just hear it's some of the best stuff they've ever done, and it's not from sources that strike me as being, you know, record label people, you know, just like people that actually go, wow, this is a really great Rush record. But anyway, before we move on to the Shuffle Kings tracks, our good friend David from Maine is on the line. How you going, David? Welcome to the program.
Good evening, John.
How are you, man?
I'm all right. And yourself? I understand you were in server hell.
Yes. We have a soon-to-be ex-web host. Well, I do. The Horn already does. That seemed to have just lost the plot, and we've moved, and now I'm just trying to recover all the old data and get it all back to where it was, which is proving to be a little bit more tricky than first thought. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm big into Rush too. I like them. I like a lot of power trios, and to me, the power trio that's doing the most damage on the scene right now has got to be, and I mentioned him before, is Muse. Man, those guys are amazing.
I was the biggest, come on.
This is just the record industry BS. But then I saw him at Wembley, 100,000 people, sold out show. Was watching the video, it was like, it's amazing. The guy's got like a 4.5 octave range.
Yeah, I've heard amazing things, and I did have originally the same reaction as you, because there were too many Radiohead references being made, for my liking, but there's some serious stuff coming out of that band, and I have seen some live footage, and they seem like they can handle a large crowd with ease, I love power. Power trios are so unique because of there is a defined space for each player, and it's usually leaves so much room to show, you know, musical and technical prowess, but yet making it all work. You know, there's a certain amount of room to move that I just think can be really amazing, and it only lives in a power trio.
Yeah, the other power trio that I think is, I don't know if you've played any of their tracks yet, but, I mean, for the people who don't know, to me, the greatest underrated power trio is King's X, without a doubt.
Oh, man, I love King's X, man. I've played some stuff off of Gretchen Goes to Nebraska, and it's the only Christian band I've ever liked, because, you know, it wasn't about them being Christian. They just happened to be Christian guys that wrote really, really great music. And I saw them live years ago, and just an amazing band. Bass player's name, is it Finnick?
Yeah, Doug Pinnick.
Doug Pinnick.
Guitar.
Yeah, and, I mean, what a voice. What a voice on that guy. You know, just amazing. I still rate them as one of the best power trios ever.
Without a doubt. There's some videos on YouTube where they were, when they were called Sneak Preview, and they sound like U2. It's amazing. They met together off like one of these advertising ads, looking for musicians, classified thing, and they changed the whole... They changed the whole dynamics of how everything in distortion and arrangements with harmonies, and a lot of people started paying attention to them, a lot of grunge bands and a lot of... But the reason why a lot of people can't pick up on it is because a lot of people would not put in the time for doing those vocal harmonies. So.
Yeah, absolutely. What's that track off of Gretchen Goes to Nebraska?
Summerland.
Summerland, which just has that beautiful vocal harmony. In my old band in Texas, my lead singer and I, that's what we used to do to warm up before going on. We'd sing that and interchange the parts in and out. I mean, that's like how much kind of connection I have with King's X. Because they're, you know, I was living in Texas, and they're a Texas band. Even though you listen to them, you would not think off the bat that they were a Texas band to me. Just not what I would put down to being a Texas band, whatever that might be. But, you know, great drummer. Jerry Gaskill?
Gaskill, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hell of a player.
He's amazing.
And Ty Tabor is one of those guys that has, you know, probably made as much money as a musical educator as he has as a player. You know, he's big with
all the
videos and the tutorials.
I like to call Ty Tabor the John Lennon and the Tony Iommi of the group.
Yeah, and there's definitely a Beatle thing going on with the vocal harmony.
Yeah. Oh, and then, you know, probably what I think the reason why they went in that direction was when they were going, because if you ever get a chance to listen to the YouTube sneak preview, I think the reason why they made the transition is because going back now, circling back to what you just played, is because of the confidence that they heard of Power Trio on the Rush records. You can really tell on Gretchen Goes to Nebraska and Please Mr. Bulbous and Ear Candy and a lot of that stuff. There's that Black Sabbath, and there's always the spirit of Neil Peart in some of Jerry's rhythmic play.
I don't know. Jerry strikes me not quite Peart-ish to me. Just because I think he would swing better than Peart ever could.
The way I look at it is there's definitely. If I was to say who Jerry listened to, I would say, without a doubt, you would have to put John Bonham on the list. Without a doubt. Number two, you got to put Mitch Mitchell on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, probably because he's just so crazy, Keith Moon, you'd have to put him on the list. But the fourth one, which is somebody that they don't mention, I think because he made so many veering jazz directions, and maybe because he didn't put himself out there like that, like on the record tip, like so many other drummers, or hasn't done that many clinics. I don't know why, but to me, Bill Bruford always doesn't. A lot of people still don't know who Bill Bruford is.
Oh, Bruford's a god.
He's insane, you know?
He wrote an instructional book like 20 years ago. I had it. And it was a jazz fusion technical book. And it was just high order mathematics in musical form for about 90 pages. And by the time he got to the last 15 pages, it all very much resembled the black page from Zappa.
So much
damn ink.
Do this book, or
it was. He did it. I think it was a Mel Bay book that he did years ago. I studied during the time of fusion, so a lot drum teachers were tuned into this kind of stuff. There was a book that he did, and it was something like the Jazz Fusion Cookbook or something like that. And it was amazing. I mean, I only ever probably got a third of the way through it before getting frustrated.
Well,
I mean, guys, serious.
I'm sure. I mean, I know something about a little bit about drumming, and I know how hard it can be. So I'm there with you on that one.
when we finish up this conversation, I'm going to play a couple tracks from these friends of mine, the Shuffle Kings. Bob played one of the tracks last night when my connection went down. And this is what you would use as the highest example of what a good cover band should be.
Right.
Four guys play 20 instruments. Their set list of songs that they can play at any moment is something between 3,000 and 3,500, and the set list goes from 1901 to the present.
How do they memorize that many songs?
These guys just have it all down in chord form. And one of them will always be able to remember the changes. So you're actually going back to a bit of the old jazz guys. You know, if it's something they haven't played in a while, you know, one will say, oh, you know, it's an A, and it's a 1-5-3-6 progression. And they'll all go, oh, yeah, and then they play it.
I guess if you challenge yourself with that kind of caliber of musician, eventually it's the old adage, you're forced to play like that. When you put yourself around people like that, you will.
And why I was saying to make sure that you catch is listen to Teo the drummer. You know, he's that kind of cross generational. Between being an old swing guy and like a modern rock and fusion drummer, and he can kind of play virtually any style, and it's all done on a really kind of small stripped down kit, but with enough toys to make the weird noises that you need. And they're still one of the best acts I've ever seen live, just because you never know what the hell's going to come out of them. And there's a cover of Red Dress that I'm going to play. And when they used to do this live, it was one of the most fun bits, because the leader of the band primarily plays double bass. And there's a moment in the show where the whole band gets off the stage, comes down on the dance floor. Paul has a megaphone on a mic stand. And the whole band comes down on the floor and plays Red Dress with no PA in the middle of the dance floor with Paul singing through this bullhorn. And when I was running sound for them, that was the point. Whoever their sound guy was at the time, if he was a player, would strap on a guitar or whatever and join in the play. And so they, you know, audiences from, you know, 20 to 90. And I love seeing those situations where you can have, you know, five generations in a room all digging the same musicians playing. And I think that's just tremendous.
Yeah, it sounds good. I'll be looking forward to that. One last thing I wanted to ask you before I headed on out in darkness, as it is.
Okay.
What is your prediction with, I got the feeling that you think that Obama's being set up. And by the way, I saw a video. I have to send this to you guys because you guys have to see it. It's by this guy named Bob Park. And apparently he's making the case. He was showing photos of the event, of the Rainbow Push Coalition, where allegedly that Michelle Obama said that rant. Do you really think, A, they have this tape? And
what? Which rant is this?
Well, apparently...
The Whitey rant?
Yeah, the Whitey rant.
One's come up with it yet. I don't believe it actually exists. I think it's, you know... People standing there with their hand behind their back going, I have a tape.
Here's my dilemma. I kind of believe it because I can understand why people would be mad at white people.
Oh, yeah. And I wouldn't
so
come down.
Problem?
Yeah, if the tape came down,
yeah.
I would take it completely in context, you know, that it could be understandable, especially depending on, you know, kind of what time in her life such statements might have come down. And in what situation did they come down? You know, if this was in some sort of, you know, African-American local, you know, action forum thing, you know, I could see an offhanded Whitey comment coming off with, you know, and when you consider you know, how out of balance the system has been for, you know, so many decades and centuries, I can wear that because I think it comes from somewhere honest and from experience. So I don't really have a problem with it.
You know what I think? What really surprised me, first of all, was the fact when you watch the video, it's not a white commentator; it's a black commentator telling you about what he thinks of Barack Obama. And then at the end of it, he says, "Maybe baking just getting in the kitchen and baking cookies is a good thing." It's like, you know, that is so sad to me because it shows me how bad media has gotten, how desperate people are just to get on. You know, it's such a cliche of shock 'em.
Oh.
Shock 'em to get attention.
And just really pointless stories in the media. I mean, just that thing that Bob was talking about yesterday, you know, from the French media outfit, you know, that, you know, the differences between the two candidates are, you know, one plays basketball, one likes boxing, you know, one likes barbecue, the other one likes chili. Like, these are the issues that we're supposed to be voting for, you know, that we're supposed to be voting on. It's so pathetic that is the level still of the discourse, considering the crap that we face. I just find it amazing, but I also think it shows their desperation on the right side, though. I think they're really scared shitless, and they're going to try anything. They're going to try anything that they can possibly pull out that can give them a chance, because when it comes down to on the issues or track records, I think regardless of sides of politics, the Republicans are severely wounded, even amongst their own, and they're not warming to Obama. I mean, they're not warming to McCain well.
You know, John, I'm with Bob on this one. I'm getting Kerry feelings all over again. I think they're handling it all right. I won't say great because I don't know how you would handle a situation great like this with so many odds stacked against you. That's just me being totally real right there. I mean, I think every one of us in this situation, the minute you step in there, you could say, I would do this, I would do that. But the minute you step in there, you're crossing onto the Autobahn, and you better start running.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're suddenly in a completely different game.
At the same time you're crossing the Autobahn, you have to swing.
Yeah.
And these cars, these objects just flying by you, and you'll miss like 9 times out of 10.
I've got a lot of the same concerns, David. I really am, and we're down to a situation where there's only so much we can control. So all I can say is, you know, we got to get behind this guy now that the decision has been made, and we need to make sure that it's such a landslide that the right can't twist it. Now we don't have much control on whether, you know, Bush and Cheney decide as you know, a parting gift to go into Iran and, you know, completely throw the whole thing into chaos again. But I will accept the things that I can, you know, have a bit of control in, and I think that's, you know, continuing to try and dispel the myths that are put out there, and to support this guy who, I see, you know, I saw some things today, you know, comparing polls at the same time during the Kerry campaign, you know, and it, like, is this just repeating history? Well, first of all, I'm not going to really start judging the Obama campaign proper for at least another month, right? They've just gotten done with the most intense primary season in modern political history. The
right.
guy has been hammering. I mean, they've all been going just, you know, insane for, you know, almost 2 years. Anyone would collapse on that. I think at the moment, folks are recharging their batteries. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have gone back to the Senate to actually go and do their jobs for a bit. And I think I'm reserving my judgment on the campaign at least for a little while, because I think we haven't even seen the rollout of the campaign for real yet. I think gotten past this huge first round contest, and now it's time to regroup. It's, and, you know, they're setting up this whole, you know, attack the smear, you know, set up and all of that. I think they're laying it out well. I don't want to see a repeat of Kerry, but I'm not going to start, I'm not going to follow the punditry and start screaming they're screwing up yet. Because
yeah.
I don't think that they've even started.
I won't say they're screwing up. I'll just say this, John. I'm getting specters. I have like a privileged way of looking at the world because my dad is in the military, and that's kind of like the ear to the ground when it comes to with the forces. And John, you wouldn't believe the things they send. It's insane. My dad is the only one who kind of says, "Where do you guys get this from?" And I hate to tell this to people listening, but they're believing it. They are believing it. And I'm not talking just like one email or two emails a day. I'm talking like, you know, he gets a flurry of them, and they're racist as all hell. And it's just, you know, I know it's out there, but this is the same, this is the same kind of setup that they did with Kerry, of how they would get to these old guard in the military. And they're penetrating right through, and I don't think the Obama campaign has any idea. They didn't pay attention to those emails a long, long time ago. And I don't know what to tell you, John, but it's not looking good in terms of that. And people, this is just like the Kerry thing. I got to tell you right there with the military, what they've done. The GOP is evil, man.
Oh well, I mean, we know that. That's been a known quantity for a long time, David.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try every possible low trick in the book because I don't think that they have anything else this time around. And I think that will end up being a factor. You know, and we've had, you know, conflicting polls come out. You know, one day we get a poll that comes out that says 9 out of 10 Americans, regardless of party, would be fine with a black president. And then the next day, you have another poll that comes out saying 1/3 of voters wary of a president of color. So, first of all, which one do you believe? And depending on which one might be closer to the truth, actually impacts, you know, will have an effect on how much impact what you're talking about will have.
You know, John, I'm just telling you from the experience of what I experienced with Kerry last time and how I've seen it before. And the same way where they get these emails and they send it to the old veterans, they just blast these veterans constantly, day after day after day.
I don't doubt it. And I don't doubt it. And like Bob, you know, Bob says to me, he said, you know, and it will resonate with some of those types. And I understand that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen regardless. But I think we have enough to I'm not going to dwell on that. Yes, we need to deal with the Obama anti-smear system needs to deal with that.
Yeah.
What you're talking about, right? That is something that they need to deal with. But just the impression that I'm beginning to get is, you know, even from the ultra right wing, but you know, those kind of middle of the road conservatives are just going, you know, 8 years and, you know, two of my kids have lost their home, petrol prices have gone completely through the roof, we're in a mess overseas.
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep doing this. And, you know, I sell the American public very short very often, and usually for really good reason. But I guess I couldn't continue trying to go forward if I didn't wake up every morning and at least have the positivity to say that we got a chance at this. You know?
I hear you, man. I'm just telling you what I'm experiencing, what I'm seeing, what my dad is telling me, and I'm just telling you I see specters of Kerry. And
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I sometimes wonder if we're making that call a little too quick in general. just like what I was saying when I saw this, you know, little poll post over at Crooks and Liars. But, you know, a week after that, we have two polls that show Obama 15 points out in front, which Kerry never had.
I hear you, John. I hear you. Well, John, it was good talking to you. And
right on, man.
I look forward to listening to the Shuffle King. So go.
Yeah, man, and thanks for calling in. You know, and I'm not, and it's not that I'm really disagreeing with I'm disagreeing with you, because I think you're spot on correct that they are doing this and it will have some effect. But I think we need to deal with that stuff and go with the 50 state strategy. Oh yeah. But I like you know, and it's not that I'm trying to go for a yes fest either. I completely understand what it is that you're telling me, and I believe it, and I know that it's happening. I just don't know if it's going to have as much of an effect as it did in 2000 or 2004. I think we've had enough history go by. At least I'm hoping.
Well,
we'll see what happens.
See you, John.
All right, mate. Thank you, David. Always good. All right, mate. Always good to talk to you. That was our good buddy David from Maine, or David in Maine. Yeah, it's scary. It's scary because, you know, over the last couple of election cycles, the system's been really broken. And, you know, from so many angles, manipulated in so many ways, that people's reservations and fears are so well-founded. It's just, you know, I just hope, damn, there goes that word again, that we're able to turn it in a different direction. But let's get back to some music here, and then we'll finish things out, pardon me, with a couple of stories. So to follow it from the reaction to the Shuffle Kings track yesterday when I went down, I sent Bob two tracks. Now, I tried to send him Red Dress. I just remembered. I tried to send you Red Dress, but for some reason, my end, it wouldn't upload. So I switched that out. I think the first one that I'll play, and they used to do, when I worked for them, they very often would open with this. And you'll probably remember this melody from Pulp Fiction. This is just a really great rendition of a classic piece. I think it's traditional? Yeah, it's traditional. But it's the Shuffle Kings arrangement of Miserloo. Roll it, Bob. Okay, so that's the same band that Bob played when I fell over yesterday. I'm telling you, this band goes everywhere. And I'm really bummed that I didn't get the version of Red Dress to Bob, because I just really dig that. It's really good fun. But there is one live track off of the Voodoo Stomp CD, which at some point I'll actually get a proper link for where this CD can be purchased. I did find one, and I'm just verifying with Paul Burton that it actually is the place to go for the material, because the old website seems to be no longer as these things go. But this is, like I said, you know, their material, you know, kind of stretches an entire century. And so just to give you an idea of that, here's a track from Woody Herman and Marie Gabriel. And this is a live track. It's a song called Golden Wedding. Go ahead and roll it, Bob. Cover band. So, you know, hopefully I'll get a response from old Paul. It's, like I said, it's been a while. I think the last time I saw him, Gail and I ran into him at an anti-war protest in the city. Or actually, now that I think about it, it was the we're not all racist fuckwits march after the Cronulla riots. Oh, boy. Forget about all the things you end up going to when you do this activism thing. But, you know, maybe we'll get old Paul on it sometime. And yeah, really, really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. And Paul's probably, you know, one of the top two or three double bass players in this country. You know, he does that, you know, bucket of bolts, slappity, crazy 50 rockabilly stuff. I mean, just to watch him play is just, it's great fun. A few years ago, I worked on a production of Buddy the Musical, and it was probably like my favorite part of the whole show is just sitting there watching these ripping double bass players go off playing the old rockabilly slap thing. Just, wah! It's like, who needs a drummer when you have a guy that can play the bass lines and make all this clackety-clackety rhythm noise all at the same time? But moving away from music, I'll tell you, all you have to do is Google James E. Hansen at the moment, and you're going to find plenty. Now, James Hansen might ring a bell. He's not new to the issue of the environment and global warming. I've got a few different pieces here. This one is from the New York Times blogs. 20 years ago today, James E. Hansen testified before the Senate Energy Committee in a room kept intentionally warm by committee staff that the atmospheric buildup of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases from burning fossil fuels and forests was already perceptibly influencing Earth's climate. This is 1998, okay? 88, 20 years ago. Then, as now, Dr. Hansen, the director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, was pushing beyond what many of his colleagues in climatology were willing to say, at least publicly. His supporters say that given how science and events appear to be catching up with his projections of two decades ago, the world had better heed his new recommendations. One of them is a moratorium on coal. Right? I mean, this guy's talking about serious, serious stuff. His critics show few signs of ever accommodating the ideas he now presses, which includes a prompt moratorium on new coal-burning power plants until they can capture and store carbon dioxide, and a rising tax on fuels contributing greenhouse gas emissions, with the revenue passed back directly to citizens, avoiding the complexities of cap-and-trade bills. Now, this is interesting. I encourage you to watch a short video I shot, blah, 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 on Hansen. Now, there's plenty more. Fox News has even reported on this, and the headline is just shocking for Fox. NASA scientist put CEOs on trial for global warming lies. I love this. I love this. This is the same guy, okay? James Hansen. and you can find this at Fox News. Unbelievable. And I think I found this link via Huffington Post on their Green blog. The heads of major fossil fuel companies who spread disinformation about global warming should be tried for high crimes against humanity and nature, according to a leading climate scientist. Dr. James Hansen, director of the NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies in New York, sounded the alarm about global warming in testimony before the Senate subcommittee exactly 20 years ago. He returned to the topic Monday with a speech at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., given to the World Watch Institute, before which he was called a hero by former Senator Tim Worth, Democrat of Colorado, who headed the 1988 hearing. Special interests have blocked the transition to our renewable energy future, Hansen writes in an opinion piece posted on the Institute's website. Instead of moving heavily into renewable energies, fossil fuel companies chose to spread doubt about global warming, just as tobacco companies discredit the link between smoking and cancer. Now, haven't I been saying this for like 2 years? It's the same exact lobby money. It's the same outfits that paid for the fake scientists to go up in front of Congress and say, smoking is not addictive. Smoking does not cause cancer. Okay? So we already know that all of that was lies and bullshit. Well, it's the exact same people, mechanisms, scientists, and groups by new names, who are the ones that are helping to create that 1% of scientists that deny what 99% of the rest of them understand is the reality that we are now facing. He continues saying, methods are sophisticated, including funding to help shape school textbooks, discussions of global warming. Hansen continues, CEOs of fossil energy companies know that they are doing that they know what they are doing and are aware of the long-term consequences of continued business as usual. In my opinion, these CEOs should be tried for high crimes against humanity and nature. You can actually check out his whole opinion piece over at worldwatch.org and look for a post called Global Warming 20 Years Later. And it will, and you can read the whole thing. But he says, to cut emissions, Hansen said coal-fired power plants that don't capture carbon emissions shouldn't be used in the United States after 2025 and should be eliminated in the rest of the world by 2030. That carbon capture technology is still being developed and not yet cost-effective for power plants. Burning fossil fuels like coal is the chief cause of man-made greenhouse gases. Hansen said, the Earth's atmosphere has got to get back to a level of 350 parts per billion of carbon dioxide. Last month, it was 10% higher, 386.7 parts per million. Hansen said he'll testify on behalf of British protesters against new coal-fired power plants. Protesters have chained themselves to gates and equipment at sites of several proposed coal plants in England. The thing that I think is most important is to block coal-fired power plants. Hansen told the luncheon, I'm not yet at the point of chaining myself, but we somehow have to draw attention to this. See, he doesn't, he's not blasting the protesters, but he's going to back them up. You know, this guy's been running the Goddard Institute for over two decades, right? There's a bit of an assumption of knowledge in the area, shall we say. and, you know, I'm not the only one. There have been plenty of us out here, you know, screaming that we can't keep going with business as usual. It's going to screw us. And as I was saying to Bob during the horn section, is it ties into almost every other issue, the war, food supplies, water supplies. You know, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And this all ends up tying into the environment. So, again, instead of keeping this all in isolation, let's look at the whole damn big picture. It really, really is what we need. Maybe we actually are going to miss the last opportunity. I mean, seriously, do you think in a year's time we're going to be able to get the whole planet together on this? Whew. Sounds like a tall order, but I'm not finished fighting yet. If I can every day get one more person to take the issue on seriously, I'll be happy. if nothing else, I get to do this every day and at least keep myself from, you know, having an aneurysm trying to pay attention to the news. At least I get to vent this. But anyway, like I said, just Google James Hansen. There's plenty of links out there. You'll find a number of the bits that I was reading off of the new green blog at the Huffington Post. And a couple of the others Gene sent me. We'll get back to being able to post links and everything soon. But in the meantime, thanks to Bob Kincaid for producing today. Thanks for David for ringing in. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. You, too, can be part of the fight against mountaintop removal mining. Thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for the archives and the streaming. He's still running his fundraiser. Go over there and do the right thing. And then don't forget, we still need some. But we've done enough of that stuff today. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey folks, Ben Virch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air.